This is CliffCentral.com.
So Tami Pue is here. He is one of a team of people who put together a brilliant organization called Tsimong. They are like the governing body of debaters in that they bring together the smartest people in South Africa to have really great debates about all the things that are most relevant in society today. Busi's here as well. Busi is the facilitator and the host of the show called The Interchange. And we've got Sazini here from ABSA. ABSA, I've got to give you guys huge credit for this. I walked into your building and I saw brave and courageous on banners. And I thought, you know what, a lot of companies say these things. But here you are in the middle of the most relevant conversations, which can sometimes be very controversial conversations, especially with young people, Sazini. And you guys have put your money where their mouths are, which I think is exactly what you're saying you are. And you don't get that kind of authenticity easily from businesses. And really, big congratulations to ABSA for being part of this, because I think we're going to make waves. Yeah. We're already making waves.
No, thank you for that, Gareth. And as you say, when you walk into our building, you see the statements brave, passionate, and ready.
Correct.
And as an organization, we have set ourselves up for the next generation. And to be able to actually have the conversation with them, they consistently say, not without us. And we think that's very important in driving the youth agenda for us as a business.
So Sazini Mojapelo is the head of citizenship in Africa for ABSA. I mean, that's a huge department. You obviously have a lot of people coming to you with ideas.
Yes,
all the time.
We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
And one, Tsimong is one such idea. I really must commend Tami, because it was at the, I think it was the Brightest Young Minds in
2016. Never forget it.
That's another organization that we were funding. So you can see that we fund quite a lot of organizations that drive the youth agenda, particularly young people, and we invest in them. And he did his elevator pitch. I think it was literally 1-2 minutes as I walked to the car and I stopped.
And you probably didn't want to hear him.
I did not want to hear anyone at that point.
Yeah, you're like, please get this man. He's stalking me.
I'm trying to get to my car. Gosh, this young person. But he did his elevator pitch and I stopped. I said, oh, okay. Here's my card. And that was the beginning.
And the rest is history, because now we're sitting here and we're well into the first season of The Interchange, which I have to tell you is compelling. I've never heard better arguments. And I've listened to debates. You know, you go on YouTube and you can see some of the best people in the world doing this. I've never heard debates of this quality from people that were literally sitting in the studio here. And doing what they do, they have very little time to prepare.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see. So if you haven't listened to any of this, we're in the middle of season one at the moment. We're going to start recording season two soon. It's the best place for you to hear an example of why, because we hear so much bad news about South Africa too. You know, the newspapers are crawling with cover to cover stories about how education is failing and institutions here don't do this and institutions there don't do that. But we're producing, in amidst all of this bad news, we're producing some very fine minds. And Tami, where do you find these people who take part in these debates? Do they come to you, or do you have to go and seek them out?
So, first of all, thanks for having us here.
Sure.
Really enjoying ourselves. So we find the debaters in different university debating unions. So like brief history. So debating is this game that kids play in high school and university as well. And basically it's modeled after parliament, where there is a motion. You know how in parliament you debate a specific motion, you have a government or someone that's proposing that motion and someone that's opposing that motion. And basically you go through that thing where you debate the merits of the motion itself, parliament votes, it gets promulgated. Same thing. You have a debating motion that's based on a contentious issue in society. You have a proposition that is for that motion. You have an opposition that is against that motion. And what you have there is a very magical discussion about like the nuances and complexities from opposing sides.
And it's constructive and it's substantive.
Yes.
You can't come in and just throw around a bunch of emotions. No one's interested in that in a debate, right?
Yeah.
Busi, when you have to facilitate these, and you've obviously, you're a master at this because I've seen you at work doing it, you have to keep people on track.
Yeah.
And so, that's quite tough.
Yeah, and I think the timing is the most important element, because debating, unlike real life, limits you to how long you can speak for. And we don't necessarily tell you what you should argue, but because it's playing into your natural competitiveness, you know that it requires you to speak, to honor the motion and to give the most compelling arguments that you can give. Some of them could evoke emotions because, I mean, most of these issues are contentious because they're emotional as well.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is that you have to persuade us. And you're probably going to persuade us because you're compelling.
Yeah, there's a winner.
I mean, there is a winner at the end of this, which I think for people is quite a... It's gratifying to know that someone had a better argument and they persuaded the majority of the people in the room. What often happens on social media, and why this is an antidote to the craziness that we see on social media in some ways, is that people just shout at each other and nobody's listening and no one learns. The reason I'm enjoying these series is because I get to hear great arguments from both sides. And often you only hear the one side. So that's first of all part of it. And the second thing that I like about it is that you've got rational discussion. And at the end, someone has won. And that point of view must prevail. So it shows you that there are ways of having civilized debate and discourse that can have a positive result.
Just to speak a little bit further on that, I mean, like, that's the problem with discourse right now, is that on Twitter and on Facebook or whatever, when we have these conversations, we have them in these echo chambers. And we really, in as much as we think we're debating, in as much as we think we're engaging, we're actually speaking to a group of people that agrees with us. But what this allows is for a situation where an audience can actually hear a compelling argument for the other side, which never actually happens anywhere on any platform. So I think, like, it has so much discursive value for the public, you know, that we never actually thought, you know, but like it's proving beyond its value proposition.
But Sazini, it takes something really special for you to trust young people to have these conversations and to give them the space to do it without telling them what to talk about.
I think for me, it comes from a personal space. I was a debater.
Okay.
And I was a public speaker.
So we're going to get you on one of the shows.
I was saying to them earlier, let's not debate. I will get there. But coming, obviously, if for the young people who are debating the current issues right now, and they hear me saying I used to debate, one of the skills that we don't actually appreciate with this process is critical thinking. And being able to make decisions on your feet and problem solving. And I find that I use those skills today in the roles that I play. Before joining the bank, I was running an NGO. And very often, the decision lies with you. And you have to be able to distill information in such a way that you have taken all the facts into account and you can make the right decision for the organization, which is what I currently do. And some of those skills that we are finding in debating and public speaking are skills that will fare leaders well into the future. Absolutely. And you don't find that in a curriculum. You don't get it in your textbook, but it's a skill that you practice and you learn. And as you grow in your profession or what you do, you find I find that I've had to use those very skills, whether I'm standing in front of a platform and speaking or having this conversation or even making fundamental decisions for the organization. Those are the critical skills. And I think WEF has even said the future skills, critical thinking, creative thinking, these kind of platforms and this kind of opportunities are actually what harness those kind of skills. So for looking at how best we can support young people, some of these, like Tsimong, they are critical in augmenting what the curriculum is failing to do.
Absolutely.
So we do find that for us, it's important to fund these kind of entrepreneurial initiatives from Tami and Bosi.
Well, I think it's also really exciting that we can do something quite 21st century with debates, because what we've decided to do and why this is, I think, working in a way that debates haven't worked before. If you had a debate before, you'd have to have the people physically present in order for them to participate. Yeah. The nice thing about this is you can go back and listen to a debate now on a podcast without having to be there, without having to drive there, find a place to you know, get something to eat, without having to find a seat, without having to make sure that you could hear what's going on. You can be in this debate wherever you are. It can fit into your day while you're driving to work.
Exactly.
Or while you're making supper that night, or while you're at the gym, or whatever else. And for people who love hearing intellectual discourse, this is an excellent place for you to improve your own arguments.
Exactly.
To make you're aware of the other side if you haven't heard it before, because as Tommy says, we live in bubbles and people follow only like-minded people. So this stuff is now making it much more democratized.
Yeah.
And because a podcast is such an easy way for people to get involved in things, it's suddenly utilitarian and ubiquitous, and people can go out and grab it and listen to it and re-listen to it, pass it on to their friends. And we don't have to have these circular arguments where we stand at the coffee machine and we say to each other, the land, and then it doesn't go anywhere. You know, if you hear a good debate about this now, thanks to Tsimong and Absa, you can pass that on to people and say, you know what, actually, let me help you with this. Here are some good debates.
And I think it's that power of digital, right?
Sure.
And you will have people who are sitting, whether in Europe or in the US, who come across it and listen to it.
Absolutely.
And what it says to them is that these are the young minds that are sitting in Africa. And they can have this kind of constructive debate. We ran a program called Ready to Work. And when we did our analysis of, it's an online program, of how many people went through it, we found people in Germany that we're going through it. And that's the power of technology and digital. And what it will do is obviously start that import and export of understanding what is in Africa and that demographic dividend. For APSA, we don't see a youth crisis. We see the youth opportunity. We see how we can invest that and drive a broader demographic dividend that can invest and grow this continent.
I love that. That makes me feel very, very optimistic. No, we need more optimism, and we need people who talk like you do, because unfortunately we do hear too much of the other side of the argument in this respect. So speaking of arguments and debates, Busi, what kinds of topics, for people who haven't heard the series yet, what sort of topics do you guys delve into? And is there anything you're afraid of? Is there anything that's really contentious that you're worried is going to be, you know, a massively noisy and dangerous area for you to debate in?
So most of our debates so far have been based on understanding and unpacking economic issues that usually divide us. Issues like the privatization of state-owned enterprises. And we've really gone into depth, not to just talk about the rhetoric around it, but to really talk about, you know, if this is for the welfare of the public, then what's in the best interest of the public? I think one that really scares me is one where we delve into the issue of xenophobia. And we look at really, is, should we call it Afrophobia, or can we continue to call it xenophobia? And that asks us to then look at the issue of, do South Africans have an inherent dislike and hatred of African nationals? And what kind of arguments can be given to, you know, discredit that kind of view, given the fact that xenophobia has been on the rise since 2008? I think that debate, when it comes out, is really going to to do incredible things for people in terms of their understanding of these issues. But there have been hosts of interesting ones about women, about queer rights, about education, about if we should...
This week's episode is about this digital divide and whether or not technology will make it harder for the haves and have-nots.
And it's great, to because it coincides with a general Twitter argument about 4IR. I mean, yesterday, the Minister of Communications wore a blazer with 4IR on her, like a brooch when she was presenting a speech, and it was a whole hoo-ha about it. Like, does the government actually understand what 4IR is and the kind of problems it's presenting? And I know when the podcast dropped, I immediately got a WhatsApp from one of my cousins who said to me, I really am afraid of what this is going to do in Africa. And I was like, this, then you have to listen to the podcast.
Well, you can't miss this. It's an unmissable series. I'm very excited about every single episode when it comes out. I'm in there and I'm listening to it. You can too. It is a really worthwhile series for you to pay attention to. And I've got to say again, Sazini, thank you very much for being part of this, because it's so good to have people who believe and actually show that they believe in what young people's minds are contributing to society.
And before we go, I just wanted to congratulate Busi. From being selected Forbes 30 under 30.
Yes, she was not only selected as one of the Forbes 30 under 30, she was presenting.
She
hosted the whole thing there the other day.
And for us, it's obviously gratifying to see that we invested in an idea. And we are able to find the diamonds and pick them more. And if we could have more corporates who can do that and give the young people the opportunity. It's amazing how such a small investment for APSA, has made such a huge impact. She interviewed and she was emceeing with the, when Obama came for the lecture. And now she's interviewing and she's, her platform and where she actually sits now is completely raised. Same for Tammy. And we see how these are the future leaders, the people who take the country forward. And for me, I think the call to action is all the other corporates. Let's invest and engage in these young people. We've started.
Someone has to
join
lead the
us.
Way. Sure. No, congratulations.
And by the way, same as Bongani, who is spending the next two months in Shanghai.
Yes, exactly.
And it, the investment was from APSA in 2016, when Simon was just an idea, and we needed someone to buy into it.
Well, congratulations, and thank you very much to Sazini Mojapelo, who's from APSA. Big thank you to Busi, and congratulations, Busi, again.
Thank you.
I'm very glad that Sazini brought that up. Mkombozi, and also to Tammy Pue, who have put together an incredible series. Listen to it on cliffcentral.com. And give us your feedback. We want to hear what you think of it and what else you'd like to be debated. Mm. What other subjects are interesting to you? Because all of them are fair game. If you're having a really interesting conversation with people, it can only be a good thing. I've always found the best conversations I've had are with people who disagree with me.
This is CliffCentral.com.